Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
Hello, everybody. This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from Booker County in the mysterious Ozarks in Mid-America. And our special honored guest this the week is Victor Baines of the Nostradamus Society of America.
And, how you doing?
How are you?
Doing okay. About yourself?
I'm doing fine. How is it down here in Fort Worth?
Well, it's been pretty darn cold here lately, but now it's starting to warm up. Spring is here, and tornado weather should be arriving soon. So we got a lot to look forward to around here.
Well, you're having a lot of flooding down there.
Yeah, every spring it always floods somewhere in Texas.
Yeah.
Or different places.
Yeah, it's been, people are kind of worried about the weather, and weather's been weird, not just here, but worldwide. And, of course, last year we'll get to talk about the weather. We had John Hogue on not long ago, and you emailed and said, you know, in true Nostradamian fashion, you know, that you said, well, I don't exactly agree. And that's what Nostradamus is all about, you know.
Yeah, when I read the description, why don't you go into that a little bit and tell me exactly what he said, so I can sort of...
Well, he just focused on that one quatrain.
About the great earthquakes in Asia.
And so they're talking...
Just an earthquake occurs in the depths of Asia, both Corinth and another city there in Greece, in a perplexed state. So what was his angle on that one?
Yeah, he said it was Corinth and Ephesus. And of course, Corinth being Greek, and the only thing he didn't get about the four line quatrain because he saw that the dryness. He says there was a great drought, you know, from Marseille south, spreading all into even Africa,
right.
South of France and northern Africa. Great drought had been for years, but he really didn't get, you know, the fourth line. And during the interview, I popped up and I said, "Well, what if?" I said, "You yourself said that sometimes he refers not to a place but the politics of a place." I said, "Corinth, you know, why doesn't Corinth equal Greece equal the democratic nations? And why doesn't Ephesus equal Turkey?" And at the time of Nostradamus, Turkey was the head of the Mohammedan Empire. And he went, "Whoa," you know. So,
I mean, right. I mean, you never know. Everyone's got their own slant on that. On mine, it says, you know, my slant is the line says an earthquake occurs in the depths of Asia. Okay, I can certainly buy that.
And depth of,
and actually, it gives us an astrological position where we can come up with dates, mm-hmm. which I got with some astrologers from, I wrote my book, mm-hmm. and 2013 and 2026 and 2028 are the three times that the astrological information occurs next. But you know, there's probably 100 earthquakes or 1,000 earthquakes around the world every day,
mm-hmm.
and you know, how do we know that he's not talking about the Krakatoa explosion and quake and volcano and all that stuff from the 1800s. You don't really know that for sure.
I think John had also looked at some specific astrological and astronomical configuration.
Uh-huh. Earlier you were talking about the drought, and there is one quatrain, 167, that says, "The great famine I sense approaching will arrive in various regions, then turn, and then it becomes universal. It will be so great and long-lasting that one will pluck roots from the trees and babies from the breast." It's like, wow, that's pretty darn scary.
Well, that sounds like
a lot of hungry, panicking people running around mm-hmm. looking for anything they can to eat. And, you know, in Asia, in parts of mainly Africa, you know, we see some famines or whatever, but we really haven't seen a universal one.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm aware of in a long time. And with all this wacky weather going on, it's like if you divided the country into different regions on a map, it's almost like one region is getting the weather that usually happens in the region next to it, and they like their karmas switch for a season or something. And you know, out of 3.1 billion people on the planet, is that the population?
Six
billion. Okay, I haven't looked lately. Like, wow, all that auto exhaust, all that power plant exhaust, all this crud manufactured in the city that's just out there in the air, and it's like, how can anyone even pretend that the weather would be normal since the Industrial Revolution to now?
Well, it's not just that. I mean, I'm 50 years old.
I'm 47.
You got a broken-down car. I got a broken-down car. Well, I was walking home. We live about 100 yards from a convenience store and need to get over there and get something yesterday, and need to rush back because they were going to deliver propane. We'd run out of propane and been without it for a week. And anyway, so I'm walking back and I look up in the sky and I'm thinking to myself, that's a straight line cloud, and there's another one just like it half a mile from it,
right?
And and there's another one, you know, they're running from east to west as far as the eye could see. Every half a mile, I could see at least 5 or 10 miles north and 10 or 15 miles to the south.
Right.
And you know, it was like, you know, that's not natural. I'm sorry. There is absolutely no way that in nature that you're going to have clouds that were like a musical scale.
Uh huh.
You know, it's just impossible.
Where did it come from?
Well,
mutated weather making mutated clouds.
I sure don't know, but you know, Robert Goswolf was saying, you know, a lot of times he drives by those Doppler radar things. He called them the big white golf ball,
right?
Square clouds above them, and the TV weatherman that was on Coast to Coast AM last month, and he he's got some pictures of these straight line clouds, but not 20 of them lined up next to each other. But he's, right. You know, they're like I saw, like an idiot. I didn't take a picture of it yesterday. I just kind of went, You know, it's real obvious that they were chemtrails because they're absolutely uniform with the exact same spacing in between them. I mean, all anybody had to do would come back and do it at 90 degrees to them, you would have had a tic-tac-toe.
Cosmic tic-tac-toe.
Yeah, right, well, the thing about it was, you know, you asked me about this voice that I get every once in a while. The one that told me about 2005 was to be the year of the Great Havoc.
Right.
And 7 years ago. Well, one of the things that years ago, and I don't record all my dreams like, you know, you're supposed to.
Believe it or not, my first book was called The Dream Diary, so I'm hip to the subject. Go ahead.
Well, I thought I read somewhere, and I have literally read things while I was sleeping. I read pages from books, and then later on went back and tried to find them. But one of the things that I've been looking for was a checkerboard sky, and that was going back about 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I believe somebody else, in the back of my head, I think I read it somewhere, maybe in an old Mormon prophecy or something like that, but you know, here, you know, we've got, I mean, I've seen pictures of, you know, tic-tac-toe or checkerboard
right.
guys, you know, and, but, you know, you talked about the drought, personal prophecy, and I can't remember. Like I said, I've read so many of them, you know, and a lot of them were years ago. But it's part of Mormon doctrine that the last year before the second coming of Christ, there will be no rain will fall on the earth.
Huh.
It will be the sign of the rainbow will be revoked, and that was the sign of the covenant.
No rain for how long?
A year.
1 year.
So you can see if the no rain fell on the earth for a year. And, you know, the way they're messing with the weather. You know,
they mean just over Mormon land there? Entire
world for 1 year. You know, that would cause, you know, that would certainly cause your worldwide famine, you know. And, you know,
the Chinese, you know, are you familiar with the Catholic prophecy about that Bishop Malachi from...
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Where there's supposed to be two more popes after the present one, and then the destruction of Rome and Judgment Day and all that. You know, it's strange to me that's been around for like 700 years or so, 600-700 years, and obviously the Catholic Church is aware of it, but we don't hear anybody talk about that.
Well, you weren't listening to Coast to Coast the other night because, they were talking about the other night. There's a fellow that's he's a Catholic father through
what did he ever say about it all?
During the Reformation, the diocese at Utrecht. If you saw that Martin Luther movie, you remember that the
I did actually see part of that.
Yeah, they talked about Utrecht. Well, Utrecht, they were kind of in the middle, from what I can understand. I'm really kind of talking through my hat, but the old Catholic Church that came down from Utrecht, and these are men who are not celibate, but they are recognized at least by the Pope, maybe not by the Vatican, but this father that was on. Coast to Coast the other night, you know, spoke extensively on what's going to be happening. He's a Catholic mystic, has seen the Pope several times, and he said,
"What is plan?"
Well, what he says, what's going to happen is that they are. He says this Pope will be forced into exile soon. The Church will come out and say that he is dead. They will not produce his body, and they will say that. Another pope's been elected, and of course there's like one or two popes now between, you know, well, the next one's supposed to be the olive branch, and after that, you know, it's Peter the Roman.
The glory of the olive, the next one is Peter the Second.
Right, and, but he said now that Sister Lucia is gone, And she said, she commented to him some years ago that after she and this, I guess, one other person was gone, that the Pope would be alone in Rome, you know, the only person that was really pure.
Right.
So,
but no detail about, I mean, more popes in the destruction of Rome saying, well, if, you know, if Italy is a NATO ally or whatever, if something happens to Italy, that means our country would be involved in it. So.
Well, he says we're going to be invaded. He says we'll be invaded before he goes into exile. Here in this country, we'll be fighting off. He says our military, see, this lines up with George Washington's prophecy that most of the army would be out of the country when we would be invaded.
Invaded by who?
Well, I think,
I've heard this stuff about this Scallion guy saying years ago that China was going to one day invade the U.S. through Alaska.
Well, that was the same thing that Red Elk has seen. They are conducting military exercises, joint exercises with Russia right now. And, of course, you know, we're going eyeball to eyeball with Iran. You know, Iran has a common border with China. And I'm not sure China's real comfortable with having Iran occupied by the United States on their border. And they've just passed a law, apparently, stating that if Taiwan ever officially tries to break away to become, to get a seat in the UN, that they would go to war to protect that.
I wonder if they're really, if our country is really going to keep that promise. I mean, why would you want to get a nuclear war with a huge country just for one little island?
Why? Because
I can see why in another way.
Want to kill 95
nukes need to fly because of it.
Well, you want maybe you want to kill 95% of the people in the world by some means or another.
Us or them?
Everybody. You know that global 2000 plan that everybody talks about.
Now, what is it? Global 2000.
That was something that came into existence back in the Carter administration. It's even been written into movies, several movie scripts. But that is the so-called Illuminist or New World
Illuminati
rumored plan to reduce the population of the Earth from 6 billion down to 500 million.
500 million?
A half a billion.
Okay, a half a billion.
Yeah, another one, 12th, you know.
Through means through war, plague, or what?
Any way they can do it. 92, they figure if we don't, you know, if we don't, I'm thinking that if human beings don't do it, nature will not do it.
You know, sometimes I think, Mother Earth must look at humans as, man, these fleas are getting out of control in my skin. If I could just shake some of them off, I'd be a lot better off.
Yeah. And that's nature's way. You know, whenever the deer herd gets too big, something comes along and calls them out, and that's nature's way. There's enough evidence, you know, with HAARP and the scalar energy weapons and all this other stuff. I mean, it's what I didn't see going on back in '98, I didn't see man's hand in the weather, and it's so obvious now that they're messing with the weather. You know, either.
You know, I hear that, but I don't really know. I mean, maybe they're doing some experiments somewhere, but what is it that they're doing to the weather, and how do they do it?
Well, apparently they're spraying aluminum and barium powder, which causes moisture to condense on it, which forms clouds.
So they can pretty effectively see clouds.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they've been able to see clouds, but they're doing it at such a mass level now but yeah, if you go to weather,
there won't be any famine then if they can successfully see clouds.
Well, go to weatherwars.info and take a look at that weatherman's website. I contacted him after he was on coast.
Weatherwars.info.com.
No, just the what? Not .com. Weatherwars.info. Period.
Okay.
And
I'll check that out.
And. I contacted him and he said, "Oh yeah," he says, "I'm a fan of your website," and I said, "Well, how about let's exchange links?" And he did that. And the next day, I was contacted by someone who was with the National Oceanic
Right.
I know how to say this. I just can't say NOAA. You know, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
OCO.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater. Would you think twice about defending yourself or a loved one from an intruder? In this day and age, would you dream of leaving your doors unlocked at night for fear of being burglarized or even attacked or worse? Would you? But when it comes to our own bodies, the doors to our houses are wide open all the time. The very air we breathe and the food we eat, especially here in the United States, creates free radicals that cause us to age and in some cases cause illness, some of which are deadly. Now, for the first time in history, there's a supplement called Protandim that is listed on the U.S. government's PubMed.gov website with many peer-reviewed studies all showing that Protandim is a proven killer of the free radicals that are aging and in some cases even killing us. Now, I'm not talking about killing one molecule of free radical per one molecule of antioxidants like the stuff we've been taking. I'm talking about killing 1 million free radicals per second, per molecule, and this is the very same antioxidant your own body produces. Protandim supercharges your body to create much more than it does without Protandim. There's an old saying that we are warned about in the scriptures. That's the attitude, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So let me ask you, how much money do you spend on food a day? If you're out shopping or at the beach, would you think anything of spending a buck or even more on a can of soda? If there was a vending machine that sold something that killed what was aging you or even killing you, would you even hesitate to spend a buck and a half a day? Well, now there is such a vending machine, and it's sitting right in front of you. It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Hi, friends. This is Will Bluewater. I have a message here from 1975 from John Wayne. It comes right out of today's headlines. So you Indian folks who are following the progressive trend in politics, you're following the people that supported slavery. You're following the people that have enslaved you ever since the Civil War. Listen to John Wayne.
You know, it's a funny thing, the Indians now, this AIM group have started something that now they're against me for some reason, but I am the only man in pictures that always gave them their human dignity. I never was in a picture. I never allowed myself at any time to do anything that would take their human dignity away from them, and that to me is the most important thing in a man. I have found that a certain type that calls himself a liberal, I always thought I was a liberal. I came up terribly surprised one time when I found that I was a right-wing conservative extremist. When I have listened to everybody's point of view that I ever met, and then decide how I should feel. I mean, but this so-called new liberal group, Jesus, they never listen to your point of view, and they make a decision as to what you think, and they're articulate enough and in control of enough of the press to force that image out for the average person. For some reason, maybe it's these pictures, they have not been able to do that with me. In spite of what they say, people have not taken sides that I'm a, you know, it hasn't affected my career in popularity, let's say. In spite of the fact that they've tried to make it do it. There isn't a hell of a lot to that we can do to change human behavior. we keep making laws to try and change human behavior, you can't do it. I think you can accept it and feel how you would feel in that position. You're being conned into Keynesianism and socialism now. But it isn't going to stop the selfishness of human behavior. It isn't going to stop the greed. If you take $20 and give $1 to every son of a bitch in a room, and come back a year later, one of the bastards will have most of the money. I mean, it's just human nature, and they're not gonna whip it with a lot of laws. I think when you make people conscious, as communication gets better, and you make people conscious of somebody in trouble, starving or something like that, the average person will help. But of course now they've got so damn many charities and there's so much professionalism, you know, if you have a charity, you hire some professionals to work up the charity, and by the time you get the money, you get $4 for the recipient and $400 for the administrators. So, I mean, Christ, I think there are people who try to affect a thinking where they know more than some other son of a bitch and try to put a false impression on what human nature is. Christ's sakes, we have proven that we go back to hope at the first opportunity. Just throw out a little fish and bam, they're out there ready to grab it. So we are optimists. We have to be optimistic. Christ, what else would there be in life if you lose optimism?
And, I mean, he made a donation, you know. He says, just don't tell anybody. Please, you know. He says, I mean, they're watching, you know. This weatherman pointed out that it's getting about impossible to predict the weather because he says the same tools they were using even last year are not working.
And wow.
It became such a crisis in Russia, apparently, that the weathermen over there were threatened with jail. I mean, they talk about jailing these guys if they don't predict the weather. Well, how do you predict the weather if it's being
manipulating it?
Right.
Right.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, man, it's so arrogant, you know, to think that they can... When you go back to the hurricane season last year, there were a lot of strange, you know, things that happened. Right turn, you know, obvious turns that were taken, and people have really been watching very closely. They've been watching the radar pictures for non-natural patterns, and
right.
But I'll tell you, I'm 50 years old, and I've been an amateur astronomer since I was 12, and I know the sky. I know the daytime sky too, I'm just here to tell you that it just ain't natural to have clouds that, you know, go from horizon to horizon exactly east to west, lined up every half a mile, you know, for as far as the eye can see, north to south.
I mean, they make it look like George Bush's face up there.
I don't know.
Faces of Bush.
I don't know. It's really weird, but last, you know, I was told. He asked me about this voice that I get. It goes back to 1982. I was told in my sleep that an attempt would be made on the life of my wife, and we were looking for a fulfillment right then. Well, 13 years later, she did die during the dark of the moon. She died during the dark of the moon.
Okay, right.
I was told that she was going to die during the dark of the moon. And
sorry to hear that.
So, she was ready to go. But anyway, that was kind of my first, and, you know, after 82, this voice would just wake me up in the morning and it would tell me things. And, I'd make a note of them. And back in 1998, I was told that in the future, the year 2005 would be known as the year of the Great Havoc, because the weather would become so bad that it might even cause the shutdowns of a lot of computers on the planet, maybe all but the highest speed computers.
And how would it affect that?
And then the voice, I mean, that was a very calm voice.
Uh-huh.
The voice raised itself and says, wake up and write that down. So I did. You know, it was the only thing I've ever been told to do. Well, early last year when the sun was shooting out all these coronal mass ejections, I began to wonder, this time last year, and going back, you know, a couple of years, and I wondered, is the sun going to enter into this equation? And then about 8 or 9 months ago, I heard that all weather forecasters were being given information about the sun to work into their weather forecasting. So I knew then what was going on. So I was expecting, you know, when I was told 2005, I really looked for the beginning of it to be in September.
Right.
And I wasn't disappointed. And but it's been really weird. The worst winter in Europe for 100 years. And this this jockey out in Idaho called me and between 77 and 99, other than a year here or a year there, I lived in the Intermountain, the Rocky Mountain area.
Right.
And he said, you know, you've been in the Rockies lately? I said, well, not for 10 years. He says, well, they got so much snow back here, it's collapsing buildings.
Wow.
He says, it's a real havoc, you know, so he called me wanting to do an interview like 20 minutes later, you know.
But, you know, this global warming thing is really scaring me because some news reports in China, there's these huge glaciers, and they're just melting at a very quick pace.
Well,
and even Nostradamus mentions that one day there's going to be a universal flood, and everything except, you know, the highest points are going to be flooded. And, you know, some scientists say, well, obviously global warming is real, this and that. Other ones say, well, it's still just a theory. We don't know whether it's, you know, natural patterns of the Earth or this or that. Well, it's pretty obvious to me. You think about all the automobiles, all the pollution, all the industrial pollution, et cetera, it's like, hey, you know, man is polluting this natural cycle. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm glad I don't live on the coastal area. Because 30 or 40 years from now, it might be rough going for it. They might turn everybody on the coast into a boat person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, keep your boat in the backyard because you might be having to paddle away in it someday.
Well, if you go over to ZetaTalk.com, you know, the supposed aliens that were talking to Nancy Leader, you know, they told her everything below 700 feet elevation in this country was going to be flooded.
Below 7, and when is this supposed to occur?
They didn't say. They just said soon. And so that, you know, the entire Mississippi River, and basically that would fulfill...
Well, you know, interesting that you say that, because I was going to speak with you about is what I'd like to see is like some big, huge chart where we get like Hopi prophecy, things that aliens supposedly have told people, Mayan prophecy, Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, and all these other personal properties, you just compile them all together.
I did.
you
just haven't seen my Prophecy Keeper's library yet. It's 1,000 pages, and it's taken a stab at compiling from A to Z, and I split it up between Eastern and Western Hemisphere. And it includes just about all the Earth change maps that
right.
I've seen floating around, but what the Zeta Reticulan told Nancy Leader, you know, basically would fulfill the picture that Abramson and Gloria Del Toy and Scal, you know, have all seen the flooding in the Mississippi River Valley and
right.
You know, some of the East Coast and the Gulf Coast and the West, most of the Western United States currently. will go down. The Hopi have said that they're going to be flooded all the way up to second or third mesa. That's 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 feet. But you know, there's no way you could have a water go to 4,000 or 5,000 feet and not flood the entire United States. What it is that area, you know, Albuquerque. You know, they know that used to be an ancient seabed. So apparently, the western part of what's now the United States, and what Scallion has said is that it's on a magma bubble, and that
really?
Goes up and down.
Wow.
And there's been a Phoenician seaport found not too far from Albuquerque. Well, that's
are you serious?
Yeah, that's what 1,200 miles inland. So
I've never heard of that. What was the word on that?
That would explain why. Basically, the western third of the United States, all the way from southern Oregon to Grand Junction, Colorado, all the way down to Baja, is going to go underwater at some point again.
Uh-huh.
This won't be the first time, but this is again.
I see. Well, there is something interesting in the Earth Changes chapter of my Nostradamus book, and that's. And it kind of goes in line with what you're saying here. Is this quatrain 1079 that seems to reference some type of huge calamity in a place known as the modern Memphis. And, you know, the old Memphis, the ancient Memphis, is the capital of Egypt, or was back in the ancient days. And the only other city named Memphis of any particular size or significance is Memphis, Tennessee. And, you know, in like 1809, 1811, yeah. Something like that, they had a huge earthquake in that area.
New Madrid Fault.
Exactly. And pioneers, you know, out there with their muskets and their coonskin caps would see the fields rippling like the ocean. And it was so bad that it reversed the tide of Mississippi for a couple of years. And I've spoken personally back in the 90s with... one of the authorities at the USGS, one of their public spokesman guys, and he was saying that, according to them, that whole area is supposed to go sometime between now and 2017. And if that's true, you know, history has shown, you know, what a big quake and how dangerous that area can be. I'm just trying to picture our country with some big hole right there in the center of it. I mean, it's going to kill a lot of people if it goes. Lots of commerce is going to go down. You know, shipping and transportation will be altered. It'll be a huge catastrophe. I don't know whether the public is ready for something like that. What do you think?
No. No. There's, I mean, they actually made it illegal now to store more than 30 days worth of food.
Where in that area?
Anywhere.
Hmm.
And, there's kind of, I understand there's a way to get around that. But, you know, if you take it out of the original cans or take the labels off the cans, because they're not gonna take anything from you that isn't labeled. But yeah, that's the law. You know, supposedly.
Well, I'm just saying, Scallion was the one that said the Mississippi would be widened. That whole area would be underwater.
100 miles wide, from New Orleans all the way up to the Great Lakes. It would actually join
the... See, I mean, the only thing that could facilitate something like that would be the New Madrid collapsing. I mean, that would work, theoretically.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, you know, you can change politics, you can change this, you can change that, but I don't know what anyone's going to do about changing plate tectonics.
Not a thing.
We're just little fleas on the dog, as far as that goes.
Dogs get ready to shake us off at the back.
Yeah.
Little empty sunburst, then.
She's opened up a raid factory. It's getting ready to spray us real hard.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's your slant on this war that we're in right now, real quick? Or do you even want to go there?
Oh, jeez.
Well, being your age, don't throw in mine 10 cents worth. Reminds me of the Vietnam War era.
Yeah.
I can't say I'm against. I'm just saying it sure looks like a bunch of craziness to me.
Well, you know, you never know, you know, what's going on. You know what they tell you in the press.
You know, you're right, Jerry. You know what they tell you, but who knows what's really going on there?
I mean, they've almost admitted that they blew up the Maine, the
start, you know.
Right,
well,
right, right.
To another 100 years.
Well, I would have to say the American War, that that the news footage of Colin Powell making his big presentation to the UN, you know, to invade, to get rid of those weapons of mass destruction that are going to kill us all. I mean, to me, it looks like comedy now when I see it. But
I really believe
I think it hurts the honor of the country to go invade somebody under one pretense. It turns out your pretense is false. Well, instead of leaving and handing them back the keys to the city, you come up with another excuse to do it and stay there, you know. It kind of makes us look dishonorable.
Yeah, I don't know. I really believe...
We speak with forked tongue.
Well, I believe they really believed it. And I remember a... I remember that during the wind-up, just when some of the first Marine units were reached the Euphrates River,
right?
They there was one Marine commander that made a note, and nobody ever said anything about it again. And you know, and I've had people on my own news group, you know, they're absolutely adamant about this, that it was a total lie, and that we've been lied to and all stuff. But and everybody's trounced on Bush about it. And hey, I'm no big Bush fan. You know, I was raised a Republican, but you know I'm a libertarian, okay? You know, and I kind of think it's kind of the same way Art Bell does in a lot of ways. But I remember one news report where a Marine commander said that they did find, you know, if you talk about weapons of mass destruction, that includes chemical
RPGs.
Well, I'm not talking about that. That's conventional.
Yeah,
they did find chemical weapons had been dumped in the Euphrates. Mm-hmm. What better way to get rid of it? You know, what better way to make the U.S. look like a bunch of flipping idiots than if you did have some stuff, you know, and they knew you were coming for you? Well, you know, if you don't use it against them. And I'm sorry, but the Gulf War syndrome it has to be some kind of chemical weapon.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's either that or it's their own more probably depleted uranium. But there's something going on there they're not talking about. But
I'll tell you what is the price of gas up there where you're at now?
Right at $2, just under $2.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I figured out the other day. I mean, to me, I think we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg on how deep that reaming is going to be here in the next year.
It's going to go to 5.
I mean, the people in Europe have been paying that high price for a long time. We've been floating on a cloud in that regard. But you know what? It's like I think some guy at a gas company one day was sitting around going, you know what? How do we double our revenue here? Well, let's see. Collude with the guys who make the cars and make the car makers build engines that, instead of getting 34 miles to the gallon, they get 17 miles to the gallon. We just doubled your revenue right there, across the board. And then it's like, well, we're getting greedy again, and what can we do to double our revenue? Well, raise the price from $1.25 up to $1.50 across the board, to $2.50 across the board. That way you've doubled your revenue again.
What?
And we're just sitting here getting reamed. We got no alternative unless we got a brand new hot pair of tennis shoes on, or a good bicycle, or something, or a horse. Otherwise, we're screwed, you know.
Well, I think at this point, if you don't have a mountain bike, you better be getting one.
You better
be getting some of those. They're hard to install, but you know, with a little muscle and a couple of screwdrivers, you can get those.
As one person has described, it's like these petroleum companies are like multinational, heartless outfits. They'll send people from our country over to, you know, to war somewhere else, you know, where our people will be killed, where we kill innocent people and combatants, and then they'll jack the price up over here. It's like no love for the warriors going over there to do their dirty work either. It's just you pay, you die, you pay, you die. You know?
But like I said, I'm serious about everybody getting a bike, you know.
Well, believe me, I support that. I'm a big rider of bicycles, and I'm all for that. But, or, let's get rid of these darn cars that get 15 miles to the gallon. Let's go back to how it was in the 70s, and everybody get a little four-cylinder Toyota. That's all we need. If you go to Europe, you see a huge society working well inside of very teeny little trucks and teeny cars. You look at what we're doing, it's like we are just pigs when it comes to automobiles and gas consumption.
Yeah.
It's all for the profit of the people selling the cars and gasoline, and it's not doing anything good for me, and it's polluting society at the same time.
Yeah, it is.
I think they need to make some automobiles just like the shape of an egg out of rubber all around it. So when you have a wreck, it just rolls up on its side and rolls over and nobody gets hurt.
Well, you know, have you ever
said if people die and get their heads cut off and become vegetables and 30-mile-an-hour wrecks?
Have you seen Muammar Gaddafi's car?
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osmond back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals. And, you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken-tasting garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff. And I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed. It's convenient. Stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable. It's convenient. It tastes really good. Taste the peaches. They're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like dehydrated. And freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm trying it right now, Marie
Osmond.
Put
it under your bed, put it in your closet, give it for Christmas to people, and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osmond, great having you on.
It's
the Wise Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
No, tell me about it.
It was really interesting. Here a few years back, he designed a car. And I have to send you a link about it. It's been a while since I read about it. But
okay.
Yeah, since he's become a peaceful guy, he's done some really interesting things. He's turned all that energy and angst, you know, toward helping his own country and away from terrorism. And
I think that bomb blowing up next to his tent he had a vision of God or something. What do you think?
Or something.
Yeah.
But he developed some kind of a car that was really revolutionary and...
runs on sand?
No, it just is...
This is how to come up with over in the Middle East, is a car that runs on sand.
Well, apparently they have a lot of accidents over there, and he developed a car that really absorbed... he's not a car builder, but he developed a car that's really safe.
That's good. Well, Hitler built the Volkswagen, you know, so...
Yeah, well...
Maybe there's hope for Gaddafi.
Well, this car, you know, is actually a real little marvel about absorbing.
That's good. See, that's what we need. And someone said, you know, the price of gas going up is terrible. Somebody commented, you know what? It's going to take the price of gas being raised in order to stimulate people coming up with alternatives. It's like, well, that's all we can take right here. Let's get that hydrogen car going.
Sure.
Get these electric cars going. Et cetera,
well,
et cetera.
Apparently, I heard a report that Congress and the Senate is actually starting to make noises like, hey, you know, maybe we ought to start, you know, pumping money into alternative fuels because we don't
get it
out. Just this week, that happened.
Yeah.
So there.
All it takes is that pain in the pocketbook and other things start to happen.
Oh, yeah. If you want an American to do something, just, you know, deprive him of something for a while, he'll come up with a...
So I'll tell you what, as far as terrorism goes here in our country, I mean, heard officially, it's like the government put out something recently, like the 10 different ways they think terrorists could get over on us or whatever. I'll tell you, there's this railroad thing. There's a railroad track not too far from where I live and where I go bike riding. It seems like to me, if a terrorist wants to mess with somebody, All I have to do is get four or five of them together out in the countryside somewhere, jump on a train, and, you know, I mean, I wonder, do they arm conductors and people who work on trains with firearms like they do people in jets?
No, but during World
War II. They sure need to.
During World War II, every single railroad bridge in this country was guarded by the military or the militia.
Really?
Yep.
Well, see, that's when it's just like derail a train out in the countryside or something. Now it's like find one that has chemicals on it and figure out how to blow it up in an urban environment or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm just thinking there's going to be a lot of danger there in the future. I don't see them really doing anything. You know, I mean, I'm sure something must be done under the surface, but I sure don't see it. I'll tell you what, whenever I drive near a major airport, I don't see any police out there patrolling the perimeters. Some of these jets come down about, you know, 100 yards above the ground, and five or six guys with small arms bring down one.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't really see, you know, any security, any obvious security being displayed in high-profile areas like that.
They've made it real obvious that they're more concerned about a show
rather than a reality.
Yeah.
Well, of course, the propaganda makes it look, oh, we are impenetrable, you know, we are as solid as a rock at Gibraltar, but we both know it's not that way. But, I mean, I don't want to live in a police state either, but it just seems like to me a little bit of better management could be used, you know, to protect us from what I can see, you know, from the outside. But there again, like you were saying earlier, who really knows what's going on?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
So when did the Mayans say the world was supposed to come to an end or something? Isn't there some Mayan calendars of like 2012, 2011, something like that?
Yeah, the beginning, actually, it's the beginning of the changes. They look at the...
Educate me quickly.
Well, they look at the 15-year period beginning in 2012 as being a time when things will be shaken up and that the third world countries will come more to the fore, which probably means that the first world countries will be
fighting the wars in the third world countries.
No, it's just that those poor people now are going to have their chance to have
right.
Their place.
It's their day in the sun,
and that the industrialized countries will probably their lifestyle will be. I see their lifestyle being cut back, and
I see.
By for economic reasons, it's the bubble's going to burst sooner or later, and
got to burst somewhere.
Yeah, there's got to be a wake up call, and I'm sure that they're very glad that they're living in backward countries where there's not a lot of.
Because I tell you what really freaked me out is this relationship we got going with China. I mean, in the '60s, if you were to run over there. Businessman to say, hey, let's start a factory here or whatever. I mean, you'd be shot in the back as a commie sympathizer, and everybody in the world would hate your guts. And now it's like, well, you're the big guy now. You're Mr. Cool. If you can go over there and set up a factory and take money for yourself and cut out 500 Americans out of work.
Right.
You know, I mean, every crappy little product I buy is made in China. Made in China.
Are they at Walmart?
Yeah, I'm just telling you, it's like, I don't know where the jobs are going to go in this country. They're all going to China. Yeah, we could technically go to war with them over Taiwan. So it's like, they're our best friend and one of our worst enemies, both at the same time.
Well,
like the United States and China, are we their first state or are they our 51st? I haven't figured out the relationship.
Well, I mean, all that stuff we're buying from them, we're actually borrowing from their central bank to buy it. It's like really strange. It's like, you wonder, well, why is this bubble going to burst? But, you know, a few months ago, I guess it was, we're going back now to last May, they announced that the Fed was pumping $50 billion into the economy, and that now you see the prices starting to go up. You know, that's inflationary, and they raise the money supply that much. And then you know, China and most of the countries in Europe, they stopped investing in the dollar. And,
right.
No, they, you know, the people that are going to feel it the most that they're going to feel the economic crunch the most are
going to be the people who are poor.
And no, in America, the people in America, the middle class, the middle class in America are the ones that are going to feel it. Or the poor people.
I'm feeling it right now.
Oh, the poor people.
You know, I will say this, having traveled abroad a little bit, even the poorest homeless guy around here has it better off than 90% of the rest of the world. They just don't know it.
Well,
but relatively speaking, yeah, the middle class is going to be, you know, it's going to be a pauper, industrial, underclass worker.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be, you know, you talk, well, what are you going to do with the middle class? Well, you know, you're talking about interning people and forced labor and. But, you know, during the Depression, this country had a chance, you know, because our people knew how to be self-sufficient. Most people were living on farms and growing a lot of their food.
Boy, is it, yeah.
Now, not now. You know, if you're not keeping a garden and you know, and growing a cow or two or something, but, you know, it's going to come down to, what you're going to eat is what you're going to be able to grow.
I think there ought to be a law where everybody, if you own property, you have to have at least one tree that bears either fruit or nuts. What if it was that way all across the country? We would all have food to eat. Take some weird disaster.
Yeah, well, victory gardens. You know, people.
Exactly.
You know, people don't think everything that they eat is brought by truck from an average of about 1,500 miles away.
Yeah.
You know, all of your produce is brought from California and Mexico and
right, South Texas
or
Florida,
or wherever. And the distribution system here, we have something like 6 million trucks and there's 10 million trucks in this country. The distribution system runs on a razor's edge, and you know, it used to be there was a. I was a trucker for 2 years, and you find out.
Okay.
I used to be professional.
How's your back door looking good, buddy?
Well, depends on whether we're east of Mississippi or not. Cause
okay.
East of Mississippi, a good buddy is somebody with limp wrist, okay?
Oh, or west, okay. I see.
So I'm not insulted, okay?
Okay.
And not that I got any problem with people that have limp wrist, but.
Yeah, I got you.
But anyway, I used to be a professional man, but to get out in the country, I had to figure out something that I could do. To enable me to do that, I knew if you were a trucker, you know, so that was one of the things I did for a couple years to get out of the city. And
I got you.
But the warehouses, grocery warehouses, used to have a couple weeks worth of, or at least 10 days worth of
right
of stuff on the shelves. But because they have the distribution system honed to a fine edge, there's a 3 day supply.
Wow.
That's all.
So something weird or something bad really happens. There's a 3 day supply and that's it.
Yeah, and you know, and then they come for your, then if you know, whoever in some uniform or maybe even the new police pulls up with a Harley and a bandana
right
on their head saying, "We're the new police, you know, we're here to take your food." they did this in Nazi Germany. They called them during
brown shirts or somebody.
Well, the butter knife brigades, you know, they give them a, you know, they give them a knife and told them to come back with a gun. And,
wow.
The expendable guys, you know, they didn't care if they come back or not. They just wanted them to threaten somebody and come back with a gun. But you just go back and read the history of Germany in the 30s. You can see what's going to be happening here pretty quick.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like, where did they model all this from, you know? I'll tell you what, because we're about the same age, it's like, you know, I grew up in the 60s as a kid. I'd come home from school every day, turn on the news, and watch the hippies versus the pigs. And here they go again, throwing those rocks, throwing those bottles, throwing those tear gas canisters, all that stuff.
I got a revelation for you. What East Coast state do you believe is the most liberal that there is? Just think about it for a minute.
New York?
More liberal.
I'm not familiar with the East Coast.
More liberal. Where are the big liberals?
Massachusetts.
Okay. Okay. Now you're asking. You were talking about Germany. Did you know that a few years ago?
Huh?
Legislators and the governor in Massachusetts found out the 1968 Gun Control Act was translated verbatim from the 1930 whatever German.
Oh, I can believe it.
Well, you know how long it took them to reverse their stance on gun control in Massachusetts?
How long?
A couple of weeks. Yeah. See, those liberals, you start to wake up. You know, when you see history is repeating itself, I don't care.
Well, that's the way I see this new war. Like, I thought the big lesson at the end of Vietnam was, listen, son, this is General Bad Guy, and the lesson we've learned here today is that you don't go in, you don't send in troops without a specific mission, with a specific time pattern, with a plan to withdraw these people. I mean, don't you remember that's one of the biggest things? Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they're doing, right? I mean, just they had to wait long enough for, you know, so many years to where there's like a fresh new crop of young people who don't know anything about these.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's about a 30-year cycle.
Yeah, well, you know, now Colin Powell said, well, we don't fight mountain wars anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, we just don't get involved in mountain wars. You know, they're
right.
A very limited, you know, they learn their...
And what's amazing to me about him is, like, he's been there. It's like, he should know better. And he does know better than all that, but he just kind of gave into the system, it seems like.
As long as Americans can drive anywhere they need to go.
Yeah.
Especially if there's a gun mounted on it, Katie bar the door. But when the war is over and you have to occupy a country, it's not fun anymore.
Yeah,
that's when the dying starts.
Maintenance at that point.
Yeah, that's when the dying starts, and that's.
But you know, I met this taxi cab driver in Washington D.C. a couple of years ago. He says, you know, basically it's like people are, you know, pretty easy to control as long as they have food in their stomach.
Right.
But you take, you know, you make a man hungry for a couple of days, they'll do all sorts of strange things that you never thought they would do.
Right.
You don't really see that much over here, like we do over in Africa. But he even knew, he goes, well, I know about your depression. At least your president back in the 30s was smart enough to make sure that the people were fed.
Yeah.
You know, the soup kitchens and this and that, because if they weren't fed, that's when real havoc would take
place. Oh, yeah. Well, here,
here in the
Ozarks. It's
a crazy world out there, Will Blue Otter. Anything else you want to talk about real quick?
Huh?
Anything else you want to talk
about?
Well,
I was going to say, here in in Appalachia, you know, to this day, you know, Appalachian mountain chain, FDR was a real hero. But here in the Ozarks, they came through and destroyed all of the cattle. And you got to understand.
Who was they?
The federal government, FDR, you know, they found foot and mouth disease, so they used that as an excuse to kill all the cattle. And
but what was the real reason?
Well, I don't know. But he's hated. He's about universally hated around here.
I see.
They grow more beef in Missouri than they do in Texas. A lot of people don't know that.
I see.
And, so
well, I was not aware of that.
Not real popular back here. And but you know, Executive Order 11490. You're familiar with that one, aren't you?
No.
That's the one that says that in a state of emergency, with the signature of the president, that. All wild game's going to be harvested, all vehicles, all airplanes, basically everything becomes property of the U.S. government. And,
right.
You know, I mean, I am
somewhat familiar with all that.
Well, we're in an emergency right now. And if that color scheme for Homeland Security ever goes to the top, you know, if you walk out and you stick your snoot out of your house, you're a terrorist.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, we're the enemy.
Right, right, right.
And how come it is? But they're so stupid. I mean, I used to be a military officer. I volunteered at no pay to be a emergency services and security officer in the Oregon Military Department. And I'd like to know how come it is they can't figure out the difference between them and us. We look like us. An 80-year-old woman, you know, should not be strip searched in an airport. I mean, you know, what the heck is going on? It's just nothing but harassment. And I don't know. It's just...
I know where you're coming from.
You know what I mean?
You know, it seems extreme to search an 80-year-old woman at the airport, but you know what? If you're going to stick something in there to blow up, wouldn't that be a great candidate to put it on?
I suppose, but it,
you know what I'm saying?
It just seems like... I don't know. I mean, and that whole Patriot Act thing, I mean, you can't get a senator to say, well, you know, Well, they'll all tell you, well, we didn't read it.
Right.
They just passed it in haste. They didn't even bother to read it. And it's, you know, a gargantuan, a draconian piece of legislation that takes away people's rights. And, it was all, you know, we sit here talking about politics, but it was all prophesied, all this. You know, we knew this was going to happen 50 and 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm. George Orwell sort of did, didn't he?
Yeah, you know, and everybody just feels like they're hamstrung. They throw up their hands and say, well, what am I going to do, you know? And I even had a former guest climb all over me saying, he got crossways with me on the discussion group, because he was bashing Bush, and I said, look, people don't come here. I said, not that what you're saying is wrong. I said, if I had my way, everybody could talk about anything you want to. I said, but people want to come here and talk about prophecy. I said, don't be bashing the government. You can read that anywhere.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It's the little yellow pill that scientists say could eliminate chronic diseases and help you live well into your hundreds.
You might be able to increase the lifespan of a mammal by 50%. And, of course, if that was a human being, then that might be in the order of 130 to 150 years.
That claim might be hard to swallow. But tonight on ABC's Primetime Live, co-anchor John Quinones takes the promising antioxidant therapy called Protandim.
I have become a guinea pig for ABC News and Primetime. It's not a drug. It's a supplement. It's called Protandim, and it's a combination of five exotic plants that have been around for centuries.
Have you discovered the fountain of youth?
I wouldn't put it that way, but we may have discovered something that will tell us a lot more about how we age, what happens biochemically, and maybe how we can slow it down.
Quinones has been taking Protandim for 2 weeks now and tells Extra,
I am sleeping better. I feel a lot better and also energized when I do wake up.
Primetime puts Protandim to the test tonight.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now. Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet, all for $9.99, formerly priced at $29.99. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
You want to get an edge on turning back the clock with just a few pills? Who doesn't? Well, it's no longer science fiction, but science possibility, a potential breakthrough. As I found out firsthand, there may be a way to erase years, at least inside my body. Granted, it's down the road, but some scientists are wondering if a new pill I took might offer a very long life.
It may not look like the Fountain of Youth, but inside this nondescript building, I'm about to become part of an exciting experiment, a kind of guinea pig.
Dr. McCord, okay.
I'm here at the University of Colorado in Denver to meet Dr. Joe McCord, a world-renowned scientist.
This is pretty exciting stuff you're finding, huh?
It is. We're very excited about it.
His latest research could very well unravel the mystery of aging itself. and as decades of experiments may have the potential of adding years to people's lives and possibly prevent chronic diseases like cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. It all centers around this small yellow pill, and for me, it begins with a blood test.
There we go.
It wouldn't be the first time I've given blood for this company.
They want to check my levels of something called T-bars, which is a rough indicator of a person's actual age. T-bars can identify a condition known as oxidative stress, a kind of measure of the wear and tear on our bodies. Oxidative stress, like the rusting of an engine, is not a good thing.
Bad for the body.
Leading to disease.
Leading to disease and leading to malfunction and, importantly, leading to what we call aging. It is a slow progression of increasing oxidative stress. That's the main characteristic biochemically of the aging process.
The problem of aging begins with the very food we eat to give us energy. As our cells burn that food, they also release toxic chemicals. Those chemicals, you may know them as free radicals, react with all the components of our cells, literally bombarding them millions of times per second, damaging all our cells. The result? Oxidative stress. And we all have it. The body fights back with a system of defenses. It makes two antioxidant enzymes, catalase and SOD, whose job is to gobble up the free radicals before they can harm our cells.
So, doctor, how often do I take these?
And so, here I go. With that swallow, I've just become part of a potentially landmark scientific experiment.
Doesn't taste bad.
It's called Protandim, and tests on both mice and humans have already shown that it revs up the manufacture of those good enzymes in our bodies. More enzymes, fewer free radicals to harm us. Whether that will lead to longer life is still unknown. Experiments to see if mice live longer are about to get underway, but it's a tantalizing theory.
Right now, all we know is that this preparation decreases oxidative stress. Oxidative stress is not a disease, just like aging is not in itself a disease, but it's something that accompanies and is attached to many disease processes. So you can see the age-related...
Normally, oxidative stress, measured by those T-bars, increases with age. But in Dr. McCord's tests, taking just one pill of Protandim a day reversed that trend for everyone at every age, even for an 80-year-old.
They all are reduced to the level of oxidative stress that one would expect, frankly, in a newborn or a very young child.
Back to the oxidative stress levels of a child? It sounds too good to be true. Will Protandim work on me?
The scientific evidence is there. The pieces seem to make sense. The question is, does this translate into something that humans can take advantage of?
And so, ancient Eastern healing and modern Western medicine may soon be working together. High oxidative stress is associated with more than aging. It's been linked to hundreds of illnesses.
It's at the very center of many diseases. Liver disease, diabetes, emphysema, asthma. I've studied all of these. Strokes, heart attacks.
Even mental disease.
Yes.
Depression?
Alzheimer's disease, depression.
Dr. James Crapo with the National Jewish Medical Center in Denver is also researching Protandim for the company.
Are you saying that this could be a cure-all?
You're looking at something that will have a small impact, but an important impact.
We make no claims about curing any disease or preventing any disease. We hope that when enough studies are done, perhaps such claims might be able to be made in the future.
Clinical studies to assess Protandim in both diabetes and heart disease should start in 3 to 4 months. But what about my progress? After nearly 2 weeks now, it's time to get my results. Dr. McCord calculates the numbers. The result? My level of oxidative stress has declined dramatically.
45%. That's excellent.
Just look at where I fall on the graph, before and after.
Which, if extrapolated back, is the level you would see in a newborn baby.
Have we turned back the clock? Well, maybe not on the outside, but deep inside, within my cells, yes indeed.
Would you suggest I keep taking this supplement?
I would. I can't guarantee it's going to extend your life. I can't guarantee it's going to eliminate any diseases or cure any diseases.
But we do know that oxidative stress is part of those disease processes. I don't want to wait until I'm 80 years old and find out that I should have taken it.
For more, go to our website at abcnews.com.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Major universities and government agencies initiated and continue self-funded studies following the ABC Primetime Investigative Report you just viewed that originally aired in 2005. These studies continue to reveal more scientific evidence about Protandim's unique benefits. They are published in major scientific and medical journals. The next video will bring you up to date.
Developed after 40 years of research and exclusively for LifeVantage, Protandim is a true scientific breakthrough in anti-aging. Protandim has been reported on ABC, NBC, and PBS, featured in the Wall Street Journal, and described in CNN chief medical correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta's book, Chasing Life, The Quest for Immortality. Protandim's creator, Dr. Joe McCord, is a world-renowned scientist and a pioneer in free radical biology. Dr. McCord is the discoverer of the key anti-aging enzyme, superoxide dismutase. His role in the discovery is so significant, the enzyme is measured in McCord units. For Dr. McCord's discovery of superoxide dismutase and his contributions in free radical biology, he was awarded the Elliott Crescent Medal. This medal is awarded to distinguished inventors and scientists, putting Dr. McCord in the same company as Pierre and Marie Curie, Alexander Graham Bell, Orville Wright, and Henry Ford. Dr. Joe McCord has devoted his life's work to the study of free radicals, their role in aging, and the many problems associated with aging. Consumers spend billions every year on antioxidants in the form of food and supplements, hoping to reduce these free radicals. But antioxidants from these sources can only eliminate one free radical for every one antioxidant molecule you consume. Protandim is scientifically proven to slow cellular damage caused by free radicals. Taking one Protandim one time per day for 30 days turns on these anti-aging enzymes in your body. Your own enzymes eliminate free radicals at a rate of 1 million to 1.
I think any other supplements that are designed to be antioxidant supplements probably are no longer needed because Protandim solves that problem in a much more effective way.
Protandim is a breakthrough poised to revolutionize the anti-aging industry. It is an entirely new and scientifically validated way to fight aging, reducing your oxidative stress levels to that of a 20-year-old after just 30 days.
We found, as many other scientists had documented, that there is a progressive increase in T-bars in your blood the older you get. When these same people took Protandim for 30 days, the age-dependent increase in lipid peroxidation was completely eliminated. After Protandim, we could no longer distinguish the 80-year-old from the 20-year-old.
Protandim is protected by three U.S. patents. Universities around the world continue to initiate and fund their own studies of Protandim and to evaluate how this anti-aging breakthrough can prevent and improve many of the hundreds of problems associated with aging.
Many academic scientists at a number of universities have begun studying Protandim because it represents a new tool. It represents a way of reducing oxidative stress that wasn't available before. There simply was not a good way of doing what Protandim does. Protandim interacts with the DNA in your cells and causes the cells to make more of a set of genes called survival genes. The ingredients in Protandim were actually selected because they are largely metabolized by the liver, which does not interfere with most prescription drugs, which are generally metabolized by the kidneys. So the general answer to that is yes, it is safe. The immediate benefits of Protandim are within several days, the biochemical markers of oxidative stress begin to decrease. And while these are immediate improvements, you may not sense that these things are happening, just as you can't sense what your cholesterol level is, if it's high or low. But nonetheless, these benefits start happening within days of taking Protandim. The advantages to taking Protandim in the long term are that it protects your body from the relentless progression of free radical damage as we age. The anti-aging aspect of Protandim is one that accumulates over time, so the longer you take it, the more protection you will sustain. Missing a dose of Protandim is not a big problem. It takes about 2 weeks for the effects to go away. So if you miss it for 2 weeks, you're pretty much back to where you started from.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Good afternoon. These are on, I presume. I'd like to talk to you today, and do I have control of these slides, or is I do? Okay. Let's get through these really quick, because this is just because you have to get CMEs, and I have to tell you that I am on the Speakers Bureau for GSK, GlaxoSmithKline, and also a nutritional consultant for an HIV nutritional company named Biosource Therapeutics, which has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. What I'd like to talk to you about is something that I find thoroughly fascinating. It is glutathione. It is one of the four endogenous antioxidants, and it is one that I must admit, despite 80,000 published articles in the English literature, through medical school, internship, residency, fellowship, and a fairly long time in academic medicine, I knew nothing about. It is a very interesting molecule because it exists in an accelerated or increased energy state. The energy state is, or increased energy state, is caused by the fact that it's got a free sulfhydryl group and therefore can easily donate the hydrogen to an electron and therefore quench a free radical. Now, let me tell you, because I think it's important, and it is a little bit of a divergence, but I learned about glutathione because of something that you probably all have seen in your practice, and that is a low uric acid. Now, when I was in medical school and when I was a professor of oncology, the only thing I knew about uric acid is when you had a kid that you were going to treat for leukemia, you put him on allopurinol to keep the uric acid down. I knew nothing about uric acid being low, except it kept appearing, and it appeared in about 20% of my patients, and that just didn't make sense. So I finally went into PubMed, and after stumbling around for a long time, I found out that uric acid is the last antioxidant your body uses when it's run out of everything else. When it's run out of gas, okay, it uses uric acid. Interesting. So if that's the last, the question then, what was the first? And that is where I got into glutathione. I've been coming to some of these meetings for a while, and glutathione is very important for a number of things, not all of which I'm going to go into today. But in point of fact, it has a great deal to do with not only well-being, okay, but aging well, or if you will, retarding the aging process. So I think it's very applicable. I'd like to, at the risk of repeating things that you already know, go over some of the things that glutathione is important about. Alone in the antioxidant world, okay, every other antioxidant, when it becomes oxidized, becomes itself a free radical. Glutathione doesn't. It actually recycles other antioxidants. In fact, the body considers it so important that up to 6% of the entire ATP expenditure or energy expenditure of the body may be used to synthesize and optimize glutathione levels. That's pretty impressive, 6% of the entire energy output of the body. It is also the only non-enzyme antioxidant that doesn't become a free radical, and in fact has a very interesting corollary when it becomes oxidized, because what happens is it complexes to another spent glutathione molecule, and the compound then becomes GSSG, and GSSG has been shown in animal studies at least to promote and induce delta wave sleep. We all know the importance of that in terms of the aging process, so this, even in its used up form, functions as a very useful product. It not only functions as an antioxidant itself, but alone again in the world of antioxidants, it is an absolutely essential component of antioxidant enzymes, namely glutathione peroxidase, and most importantly, the glutathione transferases. And I bring that up because glutathione transferase abnormalities have now been associated with virtually every cancer known to man, and probably with a lot more than that. And therefore, by promoting the production of glutathione transferases through improving glutathione, we may be doing even more than I'm able to talk about right now. In addition, if that were not enough, let's keep going. It's a chelator. In fact, it's 50% as effective as oral chelation in getting rid of mercury. It has an effect on other heavy metals, but they're not as pronounced as mercury, and mercury is pretty ubiquitous in an environment, so it kind of comes as a freebie. And it detoxifies organic pollutants, perhaps the best known one of which is the 2-carbon fragment that we know as alcohol. And in fact, without glutathione, you ultimately get a hangover because you stop the process at acetaldehyde, which is phase 1 detox, and that in itself is a free radical, and obviously many of us may have felt the effects of that if we didn't have enough glutathione. Now, why is it important in aging? Well, these are old data, and I think they're probably not as robust as they should be, but I'll give you what is available now. Glutathione levels decrease with age. The data would suggest it's 1% a year beginning in the 20s. I think that's too little, too late, but that's only my opinion right now. I haven't proved it. There are some very interesting things, though. Age-matched normals, okay, reveal that anybody at, say, 45 who's had his first heart attack or has asthma or whatever other disease you want to use has a lower glutathione level than somebody of that age who's well. So disease causes decrease in glutathione and an accelerated decrease compared to normals. Glutathione happens to be, and this is perhaps the take-home message, it's the major protector of mitochondrial DNA. Mitochondrial DNA is that DNA within the cells that's responsible, if you will, for the electron transport chain that produces every bit of energy in your body. And we know from pathologic data that if you take a biopsy from a 90-year-old and compare it to a biopsy in a 5-year-old, the mitochondrial DNA in the 90-year-old is only 5% normal compared to the 5-year-old. So obviously we destroy our mitochondrial DNA, we destroy our energy, and we age. Maintenance of normal mitochondrial DNA is directly correlated, and it's got an R value above 9.9, with aging. So the higher your glutathione, the less you age. And I think
it's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Thank you. Let the truth be.